You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The recent report on climate change by the IPCC has identified that more needs to be done internationally to grapple climate change. But what can New Zealand do to help reduce our impact? This week, Connor continues to investigate. Last week's discussion with NIWA scientist Dr. Mikolof Fletcher on climate change during lockdown provided Connor with insight into the current state of our climate here in New Zealand. Today, Connor speaks to physics professor David Noon from the University of Auckland in order to look into New Zealand's climate future. They discussed New Zealand's place in climate change, solutions for problematic sectors, and the Paris Agreement. Connor began by asking Professor Noon about New Zealand's climate change goals.
Yeah, New Zealand has a number of important decisions to make about how to address climate change, and not least of which are associated with sort of our basic well-being, particularly on the landscape, our water systems. We use water for all sorts of things, including the sustainability of our environments. So a number of our choices with respect to how we address climate change really have to take a holistic approach. That may mean things like how we think about providing guidance to our industries, including agricultural, manufacturing, transportation, as well as the way we think about using our landscapes, our city landscapes, as well as rural landscapes to really have equitable outcomes for all. That one of the areas where many nations, including New Zealand, are cautious about is changes in regional temperatures that have impacts on a variety of things, including our vegetation systems and our agriculture. So addressing those changes will be important.
Where are the big problem areas for New Zealand's emissions?
In terms of emissions, that all nations, again, have real challenges in this. And New Zealand is perhaps amongst a very small number where the challenges are particularly subtle. We have two main contributions to greenhouse gas emissions, those being for carbon dioxide, CO2, and methane. And for us, we're a little unique in that most of our methane emissions come from the agricultural sector, whereas most other countries around the world, methane emissions are associated with leaks from natural gas wells. And so one of the challenges we have for addressing our emissions targets is thinking about how we can sustainably maintain our agricultural sectors while also meeting the needs for reduced methane emissions. That's quite different from other places around the world where reducing methane can be a matter of finding fugitive wells associated with, you know, leaky gas pipes. And so that balance with the agricultural production is really a little bit of a detailed trick. The CO2 story is perhaps more common between the New Zealand case and other cases overseas, and arguably we have a slight advantage in that area. The CO2 emissions that we have, carbon dioxide, the transportation sector, you know, cars and trucks, is one of the leading producers of carbon dioxide. And one can think about how you reduce the amount of use of fossil fuels in transportation, and electrification is one way, and other types of transportation and reducing transportation needs is another.
Okay, yeah, going off the transport emissions, last year during our 2020 lockdown, we saw that our emissions were down by 75 to 80%, but we still saw a 1.1% increase in our emissions overall. Do you think we're likely to see a similar result this year?
Yeah, I have to admit that the few times I was allowed out of the house to go to the supermarket, I have to admit, I really enjoyed being on the roads in Auckland, and I think that was perhaps the only time that I've been happy to be on the roads in Auckland. So I think, you know, reducing traffic has a variety of benefits that are not just in terms of emissions. That, you know, like, nobody really likes to sit in traffic, I don't think. But the types of changes that are really necessary to address climate change would be going to need to be quite holistic in a sense. So thinking about maintaining the types of decreases in traffic flow that we had during our lockdowns, including the one now and from last year, it's not really practical, but we do need to move around for, you know, all of the reasons we need to move around. And so thinking about more efficient ways to either structure the amount of transportation that we need or changing the ways in which we're moving around in city environments. Perhaps we can think of public transportation or rideshare type systems that are more efficient in the uses of fuels. And for long range transportation, trucking and so forth, again, maybe there are some alternate ways to make those systems more efficient in terms of the emissions portfolio. It's a shift in the paradigm, perhaps, more so than a reduction in what we're presently, the magnitude of transportation we're presently doing.
I wanted to go back to a conversation I had last week with Dr. Sarah McLaugh-Fletcher from NIWA, who suggested that in order to really tackle our climate change problems, we need detailed planned action instead of sort of short emergency stuff like we're seeing with the lockdowns. Do you have any suggestions for these kind of systemic changes?
I agree with that comment wholeheartedly. That one of the real challenges that we've seen emerge over the last few decades in this sphere is this difference between the timescales involved in political decision making and planning relative to the very slow and gradual changes that come about in the climate space. I think we've now realized that these two things have come to a head where dramatic action is needed, but we do need to be mindful of that timescale. We need to be thinking about generational type of timescales, which New Zealand is well placed to be able to take some leadership in there, that area, because we have a heritage of thinking about those generational type changes from our Indigenous communities. Those sorts of actions that we need to think about may require reorganization of some of our city environments and the way in which we are thinking about our landscapes and how we're using our landscapes. One short-term approach we can think about is reabsorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere by changing our landscapes to grow forests. And it's been found, in fact, Dr. McLaugh-Fletcher and a team have realized, and through measurements that they've done, that native forests take up more carbon from the atmosphere than invasive species or introduced species. And so again, that notion of returning to a natural landscape actually has benefits for our climate response, as well as other sorts of benefits associated with custodianship of the landscape. I think one of the challenges that we have to think about in addressing climate change is making sure that the decision-making process is open and accessible and of benefit to all. And I think one of the ways we can imagine engineering ourselves out of a climate dilemma that we find ourselves in need not always be beneficial to everybody. And that's something we really have to be quite cautious of. And arguably, we have a really nice opportunity to make sure that inclusive aspect to the decision making is set up ahead of time. But the long range planning and taking a long term view of the decisions rather than just immediate responsive band-aid solutions is certainly important.
Finally, I just wanted to touch on the Paris Climate Agreement with the goal of limiting our warming by 1.5 degrees by 2030. With our current model and attitudes towards climate change, are these achievable for New Zealand?
There's certainly an optimistic message one can place here. I have to admit that once upon a time, 2030 seemed like a long time in the future. It really is just around the corner at this stage. Of course, we meet these targets as a global community, and so New Zealand plays a part along with others. One of the ways New Zealand plays a part is by meeting our own standards, but also helping drive the discussion about where the targets should be set for a variety of international partners, and perhaps placing some requirements on our business partners to make sure that they're consistently operating in a reduced emissions mode that's consistent with our value system. The 1.5 target's challenging. It really means, tied to the emissions, really means quite dramatic cuts in emissions on very short timeframes. I think in some ways, one needs to be mindful of those targets, but I think the optimistic message here is one that we need to take action to think about the kind of future that we need, and one that addresses climate change by thinking about our emissions portfolios and other types of changes, like, for instance, our infrastructure investments and other types of changes in our environments. But also giving ourselves a break that if we don't hit that 1.5 degree target, we don't give up. In fact, we should even further reinvest in our efforts to be more responsive. That 1.5 is not a break point where we give up. It's a point where we rally around it as a target. And if we go over by a little bit, it just says we need to work a little bit harder to make sure that we're minimizing our global warming as much as possible.
That was Professor David Noone from the University of Auckland speaking to Connor about the future of New Zealand's climate action.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.